received a blessing from the music part of the worship service, and now you're ready to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which we're told is able to save, to mature, to grow our very souls. Turn to James chapter 3, and we'll read verses 13 through 18. And my subject is wisdom. Where did you get your wisdom? We've reached about the halfway point of the book, and so tonight it would be good if we reviewed just a little bit in answering the question, why do you need wisdom and where do you get your wisdom? So let me read the text, and then we'll go back for a moment, and then we'll be to tonight's text and make three comments about it. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Why does the believer need wisdom? And added to that, why does the believer need spiritual, heavenly, godly wisdom? We began the book of James by talking about how you can actually count it joy when you come into suffering and difficulty. Without wisdom, without full knowledge that God is a sovereign God and His way is best, without wisdom, the knowing that God's way is not man's way and that God's way glorifies Him and is in our best interest, Romans 8:28. Without wisdom, I think it would be impossible to count it all joy when you meet various kinds of trials and troubles. James says in the fifth verse in the first chapter, if you don't have wisdom, ask God, and God will generously give you wisdom when you ask in faith, not doubting. You need wisdom, according to James chapter 1, so that you won't be a double-minded individual. Wisdom so that you will have a singular mind, the mind of Christ. Wisdom to know that this world's wisdom only leads to destruction, despair, discouragement, defeat. Wisdom to know that when you walk in obedience before God, God will bless you. You will not be unstable, but you will be stabilized. You will find security, a strong foundation. We are told in chapter 1 that we ought to be humble. Only wisdom gives us an opportunity for humility. Because when we have the world's wisdom, we become proud, self-centered, and selfish. When we have heavenly wisdom, we recognize that it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's altogether according to His grace. Trials are coming our way according to chapter 1 and verse 12. It takes wisdom to know how to stand in the face of trials. It takes wisdom to know how to stand in the face of temptation. Verse 13, when God says, I will not tempt you, that's a demonic, devilish thing. It takes wisdom to know the difference between a trial and a temptation. It takes wisdom to understand, is this God's leadership or Satan's obstacle and opposition? It takes wisdom for us to figure out the events and the circumstances and the situations of life. We're told not to be deceived. If you don't have godly wisdom, you are being deceived. We are told that every good and perfect gift comes from God. But how do you know if it's good? And how do you know if it's perfect? Only wisdom tells you if it's good and if it's perfect. I'm amazed that a child may open an expensive gift and spend more time playing with the box than the gift. I'm more amazed that many of us spend more time pursuing the glittery, the fancy, the faddish, instead of the Father. It takes wisdom to know what a good gift is. It takes wisdom to know what a perfect gift is. Every person is supposed to be quick to hear and slow to speak. It takes wisdom to keep your mouth shut. It takes wisdom to understand you have two ears and one mouth. You ought to listen twice as much as you speak. It takes wisdom. It takes wisdom if you're really going to understand what true religion is all about. How it's much more than a profession. It's a personal lifestyle. It has to do with being undefiled before God. It has to do with being warm and hospitable before mankind. It takes wisdom to figure out who's the rich man in your midst and who's the poor man. For the rich man's not always the one who wears the gold and the fine clothing. Many of us are rich in things that this world would never comprehend to be riches. And many of us are poor in things that this world thinks you must have in order to be rich. But God and His computer lines things up in a much different way. You want to keep the royal law, love your neighbor like you love yourself. It takes wisdom to do that. Because there are some people in your life and in my life that are not as lovely as other folks. They're not as easy to love as other folks. They're not worthy of fleshly love as other folks. But God gives you wisdom to love as He loves. The love of God's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Wisdom makes you know that salvation is by grace, but you've been created unto good works, and God has before ordained that you walk in them. Wisdom will teach you how to tame your tongue. Maybe another time that we're talking about being slow to speak and quick to hear. Wisdom tells you how disastrous a loose tongue can be. Wisdom teaches you how to honor God and bless mankind. Wisdom teaches you how to encourage and edify, not destroy and tear down. And so having said all of that, we've come midway in the book of James. And please mark it down that it'll take wisdom to war against worldliness, which is what chapter 4 is about. It'll take wisdom to humble yourself before the Lord. It'll take wisdom in chapter 5 to know what real riches are all about. It'll take wisdom to know how to deal with suffering. It'll take wisdom to pray the prayer of the effectual righteous man. But we're not to those points yet. So suffice it to say, we've come halfway through the book of James. And so when the question comes, who is wise and understanding among you, know that the reason the question is asked is because if you lack wisdom, ask God, and He will be generous to give you wisdom. Well, what is wisdom anyway? Wisdom is the ability to take what you know and honor God with it. Wisdom is the understanding of the principles of Scripture and how to apply them to your everyday life. There are two Greek words used primarily in the New Testament that describe the Bible. One of them is a very familiar word, logos. And it just means in the beginning was the Word, the Bible, the inspired Word of God. But the other word is the word rhema, and it means experiencing by practical application what the Word of God says. This is the Word, but when the Word is applied and appropriated, it becomes rhema. You experience the Word. It takes wisdom to take the Word off the page and put it into the life and live out the Christ life. So in your handout tonight, I've just made three simple statements. I want to fill in the blanks for you and make a couple of comments for each one. Number one, wisdom. It is a contrast in origins, meaning earthly wisdom comes from below, and spiritual, godly, heavenly wisdom comes from above. Heavenly wisdom is taking the Word of God and making it a practical lifestyle. It's one thing to be able to quote Scripture. It's one thing to be able to stand up and teach lessons or preach sermons. But it's quite another thing to take the principles taught in Scripture and find a way to put them into your everyday life so that somebody might one day say of you what they said of the early disciples. They're ignorant and unlearned, but I perceive they've been with Jesus. And the question is not how long has it been since somebody said you were ignorant or unlearned, but the question is how long has it been since somebody said, he's been with Jesus. She's been with Jesus. It takes heavenly wisdom to take the knowledge of the Word of God and put it into a lifestyle where people say he or she has come fresh from being in the presence of the Lord. Heavenly wisdom. Well, the contrast to that is this. Earthly wisdom is natural. It's fleshly. In fact, it's unspiritual and even demonic. Suppose somebody says about somebody, they've fresh been with the Lord. Spiritual wisdom, taking the Word of God, living it through your lifestyle so that people see Christ in you. Spiritual wisdom. But do you know what the opposite of that is? Living a life to such a degree that someone might say, I see the devil in him. I see unscriptural, earthly, demonic attitude and action in that person. You say, well, Pastor, it's Wednesday night, and you know we're all the good folks that come on Wednesday night, especially in a rainstorm. Why are you talking to us about being unscriptural and demonic? Because sometimes we're unscriptural and demonic. Because sometimes what we say reflects our old nature. And sometimes what we do reflects our old nature. And wisdom is knowing how to kill off the old nature, to mortify, the Bible says, that old nature, to crucify the flesh, so that the old nature does not crop up, stand up, and speak up, but the old nature is buried. And the new nature that I have in Christ Jesus is a nature that comes from heaven. It's a wisdom of taking what God has said and making that work through and work in my life. So the origin of wisdom, there is, praise the Lord, a heavenly wisdom. And if you lack it, ask God and He will give it to you generously. But there is, my friend, an earthly wisdom. And that's when you have great knowledge and no understanding how to use it. Great knowledge and no understanding how to apply it. Now listen very closely. You can even have great knowledge about the Bible. And if you don't know how to use it and you don't know how to apply it and you don't know how to appropriate it, you don't know how to live it out in your life, that could easily be earthly wisdom, knowledge about the Bible. In fact, some of the great debates that they've had through the years, those who wind up on the side of an atheistic thinking know the Bible. In fact, the Bible says the devil knows the Bible. But it's not just knowing what it says. It's discovering how to live out in a practical sense what it says. Wisdom, a contrast in origins. Number two, wisdom is a contrast in operations. The evidence of false wisdom. Here's what you find. There will be earthly, unspiritual, demonic attitude and lifestyle filled with jealousy and selfish ambition, disorder in every vile practice. Let me say that again. The evidence of false wisdom, of earthly wisdom, the evidence of knowledge without wisdom in your life is that there will be envy, earthly, unspiritual, demonic, jealous, and selfish attitude and ambition, disorder, and every vile practice. You would think immediately that man would be put in jail, that woman would be ostracized and pushed away. But listen, James is talking to Christians. In the first chapter and the first verse, this is to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. This is to believers who have scattered because of persecution. And to them he is saying, be careful. For if you go after the old nature and the flesh, your wisdom will be more like earthly, unspiritual, demonic wisdom filled with jealousy, selfish ambition, disorder, and every vile practice. Certainly I expect that out of someone who's never heard the name of Jesus and trusted him as Lord. But James is warning you, and James is warning me, and James is saying when the life of a professed believer takes on the old nature and the earthly attitude, these things will be found in him, a contrast in operations. So how do you know if it's heavenly wisdom? How do you know if it's a spiritual wisdom? Listen to this. He'll be full of meekness. Now, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. Meekness is the ability to break, but the love not to break. Meekness is the ability to destroy, but the love not to destroy. You'll be full of meekness. There'll be purity, symbolized in the Old Testament by the priest washing his hands in the laver. You will have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you will continually be being washed. Did you hear the way I said that? You will continually be being washed as you confess your sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You will be peaceful. If you find someone who's constantly in turmoil and stressed, they do not have the wisdom from above, for the wisdom from above provides peace, the ability to trust God, the ability to lean upon him, the ability to leave it with him. You will discover gentleness. That, my friend, is a missing characteristic in our world today. Gentleness. Compliance. The ability to get along, to fit in, to be a team member. Not that we compromise, but that we come together. Mercy. How this world needs a good old-fashioned dose of mercy. The ability, the wisdom to know that if you do not forgive others, you will not be forgiven. That you need to sweep around your own door before you begin to judge how others do what they do. And that according to Jesus, and this is Don Chandler paraphrase, that you be careful you don't have a telephone pole in your eye as you try to pick out the toothpick in somebody else's eye. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is good fruits. Good fruits means a harvest planted in prayer and perseverance, and a harvest received in patience and trust before God. Good fruits. Decisiveness is another of those things that you will have. You will be able to be single-minded. You will understand God's will. You will know what to do. You will not find yourself storm-tossed by every decision that comes along. You'll be decisive. And I like this last one. You'll be sincere. You'll be a man or woman of your word. When you say something, people can count on it. When you promise something, people can trust it. When you say you will, you will. And when you say you won't, you won't. and your yeses will be yes, and your noes will be no. There will be a sincerity about your life when you are living in the fruit of spiritual wisdom. And let me come to the last thought. Wisdom is a contrast in outcomes. Verse 16 tells you how all of this is going to turn out. The world's wisdom will always find jealousy, selfish ambition, disorder, and every vile practice. Heavenly wisdom will always give you purity and peace and gentleness and open to reason and full of mercy and good fruits and impartial and sincere. And then here is the outcome. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. They used to tell me that when this person couldn't get along with him or him or him or him or her, it was normally not him or him or him or him or her that had the problem. And what this is saying is very sincere in that right vein. It is saying that when you live your life in purity, in peace, when you're gentle, when you're full of mercy, when you exhibit good fruits, when you're impartial and sincere, you're going to find that that's returned to you repeatedly, over and over and over again. When you become a man or a woman of godly wisdom, you will attract more men and women of godly wisdom. Your harvest will be a harvest of peace, a harvest of righteousness, because that's how you've lived your life. That is the seed that you have sown. So, where did your wisdom come from? If it's heavenly wisdom, it came from God. If it's earthly wisdom, it's demonic. And you and I need wisdom so that when the trials of life come, we will learn how to rejoice. We need wisdom so that when temptation comes, we'll have the faith to stand. We need wisdom to obey the word of God. We need wisdom to keep the royal law. We need wisdom to exercise faith and to live out the works that we've been created to live. We need wisdom to control our tongue. We need wisdom to live in such a way that the world may say of us, I perceive they've been with Jesus. Let's stand together. In the quietness of this moment, let's just spend, before Mike and I come to the altar, let's just spend a few minutes in quiet prayer. Lord, I have a decision to make, and I need heavenly wisdom. Lord, I have a circumstance that I'm facing, and to do that in a godly fashion, I need heavenly wisdom. Lord, this obstacle is before me. How should I deal with it? Oh God, give me godly wisdom. Lord, I have a lost loved one, and I cannot afford my attitude and my actions to seem like they're earthly and unscriptural and even demonic. I need to be pure and merciful and tender and compassionate. I need to be sincere. I need to be a team player. I need to learn to humble myself. And God, I need wisdom to know how to do that. Would you ask God tonight, like Solomon from the Old Testament, oh God, to live out the life that you've called me to be the husband, to be the wife, to be the daddy, to be the mom, to raise these little kids, to be the influence at work, to be the strong Christian I need to be, I must have your wisdom. Now, in the quietness of this moment, I just want to give you time to pray and just ask God You say, Pastor, are you sure? God can't lie. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. It's a guarantee. It's yours tonight for the receiving if you'll simply ask God to give it to you. Without doubt and without wavering, trusting He will hear, oh God, just give me wisdom. And I'll be in the altar if we can help you with a prayer request. We can help you know how to trust Christ as your Savior, or if you want to become a part of our church family, anything that pastors can do for you while this next verse is being played, we'll be here in the altar.